Spirit, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by those things which were written in this book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And beasts of beasts and things that get our mind going and really consider, you know, where am I, Lord, according to your scriptures? Am I in heaven according to your commandments or not? And now's the time to look in our hearts and see where we are with the Lord. We don't want to wait till we show up at that point and decide to do something. It's going to be too late. But you might see that we're going to go to the Lord in prayer first. It's just that. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you, God, for your opportunity to hear and share your words with us. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, we pray for the second day. Thank you, Lord. We need to pray and make sure we can do it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And not every day you see a dead man stand, but here they're going to be standing before God. They're going to give an account of their life. When he calls them forward, they're going to be there. And he's going to open those books. It's just the book. Look, the book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their word. So how we live now is going to determine where we spend eternity. Whether we accept God or whether we want him as our Savior or not. Many want to turn him away. Many don't believe in him. But in that day, I believe all will believe in him. It'll be too late for many. But it says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So that tells me when we leave this life, we go to the grave. We're not staying there. We're going to go one place or the other. And it says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death, and this death will be a permanent death of separation from God, and it's a point of no return. God's very long-suffering, merciful, and kind to us right now, and he's trying to get everyone to come to him and repent and live according to his commandments. But some will reject him, some will turn away, and it's sad. There's no reason for it. He's done great works and went to great lengths to give us that eternal life, but he will not force us to accept it. We have that free choice. And as long as we open these books, the 66 books he gives us, there's 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, I believe, total of 66. If we're reading them and we're obeying what the Word says, then we don't have to worry about where we're going to be on that day. And I've always been kind of a nervous type when it comes to tests in school or welding tests. Even after years and years of welding, you know, I've taken many tests, many different shops. In some shops, it might be 10, 15 different tests, you know, qualify for this, that, and the other. But each and every time, I was always on pins and needles till it was all over with. They x-ray it or UT it and bend it, whatever they're going to do to it. And then it passes, and you got that relief. Oh, thank you. Thanks for the help there. And same in school, you know, when I studied, when I was younger and take the test, you know, I was always nervous until afterwards. And, you know, it was all over with. But this day is going to be a day like none other. Man will stand before God, each and every person, throughout time, from the Garden of Eden all the way up to the end of time. Anyone that's lived on earth, they will stand and give an account of themselves to the Lord. And So Ecclesiastes 12 and 11. So the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fashioned by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. So if we have a sincere heart, we're seeking the Lord and he's reaching out to us. He says, if you draw nine to me, I'll draw nine to you. And, you know, when we reach to him, he reaches back. And he came looking for us when we were yet sinners. He was seeking the lost and trying to save them. He came for that purpose to earth, to redeem man. And he says, he shall bring every work into judgment. So there's nothing that does not slip his sight. And he knows all things that have been done from the beginning. Everything we've done, said, places we've went, thoughts we've had, or motives, everything is open to him. Says every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. And he will forgive us if we repent of the things we've done wrong and we sincerely ask. He will cleanse us from that. But here it says we will give an account, whether it be good or bad, in that day. And Acts 17 and 30. Says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so some even mocked. When they talked about Christ resurrecting there, they didn't believe it. But it says he's calling all to repentance. You know, so we all, like I said, we'll have to be cleansed. We are born into this world a sinner. We don't have to be trained or attempt to be one. It's just natural. It comes to us until we get saved. When we believe on Jesus and call on his name, then we're not going to make heaven unless we do. And one day we'll stand before him and see if our name is in that book. And many of them have ridiculed the Lord. They've ignored him. They've mistreated him, you know, and hated him. All these people, they will stand before him one day and answer to him. And what he says will not... No one will be able to go to another source and look for another opinion or anything like that. Whatever he says, that's going to be the final word. He is the final authority. In Romans 2 and 16... In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel... And the secrets now, there are some things many of us have done that we don't think anyone else knows about. You know, we are not proud of. We've all been there at one time in our life. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, but we all need forgiveness. But it says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So it's all going to be according to his word. We're going to line up with it or not. And if we've disobeyed, whether it be a sin of omission or of commission. We can do something wrong or we can fail to do something he told us to do. Either one is still sin. In Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And right before it says, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So like I said, at that time, they're going to confess him as Lord. There will be no one that will not, but it will not benefit many of them because they have missed the opportunity to do it on this side and accept him as their Lord before they got to that place. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, it says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Well, he's going to make manifest all that's happened in the past. Everything will be brought to light. There'll be nothing hid any longer. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So when we get to that point, we can't look at someone else, say it's their fault. You know, it's our works. It's what he, whether we kept his commandments or we disobeyed him, or whether we believed or not. And anyway, all of our works will be recorded, and he's going to have an accurate recording. It's nothing going to be biased or opinion other than the Lord himself. He is going to be fair and equitable. In Exodus 32 and 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so sin will get your name removed from that book if it was in there to begin with. I mean, one sin can cause us to miss eternal heaven if we refuse to repent and get it right with God. So it's not once saved, always saved. That is not the case. We can have our name taken out of that book just like it is put in. In Luke 10 and 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And this verse 17 says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Never, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that is something to rejoice about. I mean, what better gift could anyone receive? You know, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God came along. He washed us, cleansed us, and he worked with us all through our lives to get us to that point. And we owe everything to him. All praise goes to our Lord in the mercy he's shown us. In Revelation 3 and 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So if we do overcome, then our name will be in that book. And There's many different kinds of books in the world. I think it's in John. It talks about the end to all the world, the books that are written in the world, or something along that lines. But there's different kinds. Back when I was a young boy, I used to like to read comic books. You know, some of them really far-fetched and seemed really out there. But some of the things we've seen in those books are coming to pass today. You know, you think like a ray gun. You know, you see lasers now and weapons made with those, and you'd think, man, that's just never going to happen. But we see things like that as technology comes along. But mostly it was just for laughs and entertainment and amusement. And then there's history books. They record events in the past and people's lives and wars, different things like that. There's biography, an account of a person's life written by another. And we've got dictionaries showing the meaning of words and spelling, pronunciation. The pastor talked about that here a while back in preaching, and how he'd look up how the word was pronounced and get up here and mess it up. And I do that too. But anyway, that Book of Life will be a combination of a lot of these. It'll be history. It's going to show what's happened in the past. It's going to be a biography. It's going to be about a person's life, everything they've done from baby on up. Accounting book, all the records, whether we've been fair and treated others right, or whether we cheated people or anything like that. All these things will be in that book. And the slang term, throw the book at him, place all possible charges against account of a person if they've done wrong. And you know, we don't want the book thrown at us. You know, cause when we stand before that day, it's not going to be something we look forward to, you know, but each person has to go through that. It's going to be, if we've lived for the Lord and served him, you know, we have nothing to fear. But yet at the same time, there's a place we've never been before in time. We'll stand before him and give an account. It's such a very important day, you know, whether we're going to make heaven or we're going to go to eternal judgment, punishment in hell, one or the other. There's no neutral ground. But it's that day that we'll find out where we're going to spend eternity. I can't imagine what it would be like, the Lord saying, depart from me, you work of iniquity, and go to that place of torment where there's no end of all the suffering. But it will be such a joy, you know, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord, and him be pleased with our life. And there is one account in scriptures talks about two individuals. It gives a little bit of information about their lives in Luke 16 and 19. And I'm sure everyone's been read it before, familiar with it. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. It means he had everything he wanted. He didn't lack for anything. He was pretty well off. And it says, it didn't even mention his name though, but it says in verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So things didn't seem to be going his way. He was full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And this would be a miserable existence, you know, desiring the crumbs from the rich man's table. It doesn't say whether he got them or not, but it says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And he in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man here in hell, he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He could see across to what he was enjoying. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So this beggar that he didn't want anything to do with in the previous life, he just kind of shunned him and ignored him. Here he's asking that he would be sent. Just touch his finger in water for a moment and touch his tongue, give him a moment of relief. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so he's all of a sudden he's concerned about others. He don't want them to experience what he's going through. And he said, if you send someone from the dead to testify unto him, they'll repent. But that isn't the case. We can look at Lazarus, that was Martha and Mary's brother, I believe, and he was dead for 4 days, and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. And then the Pharisees, when they were gathered around, they were plotting to destroy Jesus and Lazarus, to kill him again. And, you know, it didn't matter that he had rose from the dead, and he had seen what was on the other side. And the other day, I think it's a couple of days ago, I was just skimming through my phone and some news on there, and it had a little article about a man that had died and seen the other side, and he was testifying about it. And it said that he, first of all, that he was, get the word, it'll help. like a soothsayer or whatever, I can't remember the word, but someone that messing around with occult stuff, it's what he said he was. And he said, you'd be surprised where I went. I went to a bar there, and I just finished it right there. I just shut it off. That's enough of that. You know, it's pretty wacky. And that ain't what it's going to be like. You know, if it don't line up with the word of God, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's just baloney. But anyway, there is some that supposedly have died and came back and testified what it was like. You know, if it doesn't line up with scriptures, I don't even want to hear it. And Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. I'll stop right there, but it talks three different places here, three verses, 44, 46, and 48. It says the same things. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So it's going to be something the Lord's drawing our attention to. It's red letters, so Christ said it. But it is definitely something to think about. It's not going to be a pleasant place. There won't be any partying in hell. I've heard rock players, you know, rock and roll stars say they're going to party in hell. It ain't going to be a party when they get there. It's going to be a place of torment, just like we were reading in the last account of these two individuals, one that went there. It's if they had any chance, any opportunity, they'd do whatever they could to get out of that place, because there is no exit signs in hell. Once you get there, it's forever. And the Lord gives us opportunity to make our choice now. Whichever place we end up, it's by our own choice, our own actions. The Lord's given us plenty of opportunities and warnings in His Word and told us what He expects. If we don't line up with it, then we will go to one or the other according to our works, the Bible says. In 1 Peter 1:17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So we don't have to be stressed out about it, but He wants us to have that reverential fear of God. You know, He says, fear not man what he can do, but fear the one that can cast you into hell everlasting. It says, pass your time here sojourning in fear. And He's going to judge without respect of persons. He's not going to treat one better than the other. It's all going to be lined up with His Word, what He said. In Revelation 20:13, yeah, I've already read that, but it says that whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. There's, if your name's not in there, then you've passed your opportunity, your chance, and there'll be no more. But John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says He came into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. So He doesn't come to condemn us, but to save us. His great love, He gave His very life that we might not perish if we believe on Him and that on His Word. And we can look at two more individuals that were crucified, one on each side of Jesus, the two thieves, and one had a repentant heart. He was calling out to the Lord and said, remember me. And Jesus said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. The other mocked Him, and we know where he ended up, but it's not going to be a good place. But just a moment's change of heart, you know, just humble your heart and confess Him as your Lord and ask Him to forgive you, and it'll be that quick and easy, and you'll have eternal life. But He'll forgive you all you've done. But if not, then we've made our choice. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And He's reached out to each and every individual throughout time. He's given us opportunity. He's not going to bypass any of us. But He tells us to go into all the world, you know, preach the gospel and teach. He wants us to tell others about Christ and do our part to lead them to Him. And 1 John 1:12. There's no 1 John 1:12. Same mistake I did earlier. Titus came to me before service. It only goes 10, verse 10, and it is St. John. And I even knew that ahead of time, and I still messed up. Whoops. St. John 1 and 12. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so He gave us the power to become the sons of God if we believe on His name. And St. John 1:29. Get out of 1 John. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And his sacrifice that he made on Calvary was for our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to wash us clean. Nothing else could do it, only Christ and his pure blood. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." So, once again, it's by his blood, "My righteous servant justifieth many, for he shall bear their iniquities." In verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And so he willingly laid down his life. He went through such suffering. We'll never know what it's like, what he's went through. But he did it all for us because of his love for us. He gave us an opportunity to have our name in that book. And that is our goal, to make it to heaven and to take as many souls with us as we can. We don't want to see any perish, just like Jesus doesn't. And I look for the day when we all enter across that finish line and into heaven, and we, that glad reunion day, we get to see our loved ones that have went on before us, those who we've went to church with for years, you know, those that faithfully served the Lord, and see all the rewards that they had laid out for them when they get there. But we want our name in that book. But it's going to be quite a day when we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, and no one will be left out. Each and every one of us will give an account to the Lord. Turn it back to